Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from the Christ child, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The words for our consideration tonight are a portion of our gospel reading, the section regarding the shepherds. It says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." So far, our text. Let us pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. We are so grateful that you have made them known to us, that we might be in our hearts there with those shepherds, going to that manger tonight and seeing the Christ child, the one who paid for our sins and gave us heaven. Help us tonight, strengthen our faith, increase our faith. Your word is truth. Amen. Fellow redeemed in Christ, I want you to put yourself into the scene that we're thinking about this evening. It is the Sabbath day. And the synagogue is filled to capacity with Cyrenius' census underway. All the descendants of King David have come to that little town we just sang about, little Bethlehem, to be counted. The sun has set, and now all is quiet in town. And it's a picture of how all has been quiet in the land of Israel for nearly 20 generations. Not a single revelation had come to the people of Israel for over 400 years. No prophets. All those promises of the Lord that had been made so many years before. Every Sabbath we hear them read, and yet when will they come true? Now I want you to picture the scene. Just a few days later, the grassy hillsides around Bethlehem, carving those black curves in the heavens. The sheep are all nestled down, while above there's this strange bright star that seems to be hovering over Bethlehem. The embers of the night's campfire are glowing, and there's a few wisps of smoke wafting up into the stars above, the crunch of the gravel beneath your sandals. That's the loudest sound out there. And it's hard to stay awake to watch the sheep and keep them safe from the wolves. And then suddenly that night sky is gone. Filled from horizon to horizon with a light that's so bright that your eyes sting and your knees are shaking and your mouth is suddenly dry, because you know in that moment that you're standing before a holy angel of God. The glory of the Lord is all around you, and you are sore afraid. This being that's before you, His holiness is pure. He is absolutely righteousness. Personified, an angel of God, right there And in that moment, the images and thoughts of your life come flooding into your consciousness, passing before your eyes, because you know that every thought, every image that you've ever glimpsed, every desire in your heart, every deed that you've ever done is all there on display. You remember all the times that you've disobeyed your parents, disappointed people. You remember all the times that you've avoided worship and paying attention to God. You're struck by how little you've actually helped your neighbor and how often you've chosen in favor of yourself rather than others. The lusts of the flesh for everything ungodly and the desire that you have to master your own destiny, and well, they're calling out for judgment at that moment. Your conscience brings every little sin to the fore. And you know that God knows what you're thinking. You know that God hears your conscience screaming as clearly as if you just blurted it out for everyone to hear. The thought crosses your mind, how can such a holy being stand here and not strike me down? The Lord promises to punish sin with everlasting condemnation and hell. Why am I not consumed by His anger? And then those words of Moses' psalm come to your mind, Psalm 90. He writes there, "We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation, O Lord. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence." And all that remains for you to do is fall down and cower before this angel and beg the Lord for His mercy. We are terrified in the presence of God. And in that fleeting moment, you wish you'd done everything differently in your life, but you know you couldn't. You couldn't change what's happened. You can't change the fact that you're a human being. And no one's ever been perfect, least of all you. David even said, "The Lord looks down from heaven on the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. All have turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. No one born of Adam can stand the glory of the Lord, for we are all sinful from the time our mothers conceived us. And we're all terrified of God because we've disobeyed Him in our thoughts, in our words, and in our actions." But then the angel speaks to you. You expect him to say, "The Lord says, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." But instead, the angel says wonderful words to you. He says, "Fear not." And his words just calm your heart instantly. Your fears evaporate. And you wonder, why would the Lord speak to me like this? I'm just a lowly shepherd in the town of David. And then you remember the words that had been given to the prophet Micah many years before. You've heard it in the synagogue read, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times, and he will be their peace." And so you think to yourself, could this night be the fulfillment of those promises that God had made to his people? The promises of a Messiah, of a Savior from sin. And then the angel speaks again. He says, "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." And truly, this is the best news you've ever heard. The wait is over. The Lord has come to save his people. But then you stop to think about it for a second and you wonder just exactly what could that possibly mean. It says the Lord has been born. Then the angel gives you the sign by which you will recognize the Lord. He says, this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Well, that doesn't clarify anything for you. You wonder to yourself, how can it be that the Lord's messenger is telling me that God himself, the creator of the universe, has deigned to become a lowly child, a baby, born of a woman, wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a feed trough in a stable in Bethlehem? How can that possibly be? It's certainly not what anyone would have expected. And then suddenly the skies are filled with an uncountable number of angels, the troops of heaven, and they're all saying and singing a song of adoration and wonder at God's decision to become a human being to save mankind. Glory to God in the highest, they sing, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men, they sing. There's no doubt in your mind now. Even the angels are singing praise to God for giving peace to mankind and worshiping that baby in that manger. Even the angels are astounded at what's going on. They can approach God now. Normally, God is hidden in the unapproachable light of his majesty and glory. But now he's an infant lying in a manger, his majesty all hidden behind flesh and blood so that he can save mankind. No longer is he frightening. Now he's inviting. Where would you rather be right now than at the side of the King of Kings, lying there in that feed trough, in that stable in Bethlehem? How often do you have the opportunity to see God face to face? And so tonight, let us hurry. Let us hurry with those shepherds to his side and worship the King of Heaven. For he has come in this peculiar way to earth so that he can save us from our sins, so that he can live the life that we should have lived, and then give that life for us to pay for our sins. We know what's going to happen. We know that he'll throw himself upon that altar of the cross and be the sacrifice that pays for our sins. Isaiah wrote about that. He said, surely he's talking about Jesus, surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and to cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will again see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Could there be anything clearer about that child? And because of the fulfillment of David's prayers, we know that Jesus is the one who will wash away our iniquity and cleanse us of our sins. He will cleanse us with hyssop and we will be clean. He will wash us and we'll be whiter than snow. Let us hear with joy and gladness about this Christ child. Let us rejoice. For the Lord has hidden his face from our sins and blotted them out all our iniquity. Then David prays, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. We sing that practically every Sunday as we think about the Christ child. This evening we stand in awe with those shepherds that night. We understand them because we too are terrified before the Lord when we think about our sin. But the Lord has said to us, fear not. And for good reason. His Son has been born, a human of the Virgin Mary. His sinless Son has died in our place. His sinless Son is the all-sufficient sacrifice that pays the debt of our sin. We're free. We're free from that terrible guilt. Tonight I have the privilege of saying to you, I bring you good news of great joy. God forgives you. For the sake of His Son, you are a beloved child of God, and He has sent His Spirit to you to give you faith as you hear this word, so that you would trust it, know that He loves you. He loves us, even though we don't deserve it. He loves us. And so that you can be there, at least in your mind's eye, by faith, you can be there at that manger, worshiping the Son, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So let us tonight, in our hearts, hurry. Hurry to Bethlehem and see the Savior, wrapped in swaddling, lying there in that feed trough and stable. And let us rejoice with the angels in our worship, singing glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Amen. Please rise. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all unto everlasting life. Amen.